I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison. 2 hours a day, next hour, because it's Wednesday. Every Wednesday, we're back at it. I've been gone for a couple of weeks. But we are back at Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. I know that, you know, with any time doing anything in a public manner, you're eventually they're going to come for you. And I am the subject of a scurrilous rumor, particularly when it comes to health-related topics. I'm going to defend myself next hour and pledge to be involved in a complete and thorough investigation to prove my innocence and clear my name. There's watchers out there. They're keeping tabs on me health-wise. We'll talk about that. And then I'll also give you I've been doing carnivore now for a few weeks. We'll talk a little bit about that in a headline of at least I'm not saying that everybody needs to go to an all-meat diet. That's my hobby. I'm trying it out. But the idea of going to an all-vegetable diet, that may be problematic. So we'll take a look at that. All apologies to the vegans out there. I know a few of you who are incredibly healthy people, really seem to be firing on all cylinders, but I believe that meat certainly at least needs to play a part in your diet. Anyway, we'll talk about that and more next hour, Hump Day Health. My podcast, I was going to say you can get these health shows on a podcast if you can't listen to them. I think it's a good, impactful segment. I think it brings a lot of information to people. I've had listeners who have had improved their health during the course of the show, either because of the segment itself or because they've just taken their health into their own hands. I love to hear kind of testimonials about how people are doing. I was checking my podcast yesterday. Going away for 2 weeks, turns out your podcast numbers go down substantially, so it is time to rebuild. I'm almost up to 1,000 episodes that have been recorded. I didn't catch probably about the first year maybe of my show. I didn't put out the podcast each day, but I'm closing in on 1,000 episodes. So should I ever run for office or anything, anybody wants to know what I think about anything, what my true beliefs are before I started pandering for any votes, I've got a pretty extensive record now of letting everybody know where I stand. I talked yesterday. I will not rehash it today. It's tempting. I played the Dennis Prager takedown, his attack on the Libertarian Party yesterday. Even though he agrees with Libertarian principles and thinks that they've got great ideas, he really takes issue with you voting any other way except Republican. I left about half of that clip on the cutting room floor yesterday because I couldn't get to it. I'm not going to rehash it today, but it was interesting. I brought up yesterday and have talked about it many times at the Porcupine. Was it Porcupine or Porcupine? I kind of raised to say Porcupine, but it is a Porcupine. Porcupine. Anyway, that is the spirit animal of the Libertarian Party. If you get something with their logo on it, where the Republicans have the bloated elephant and the Democrats have the jackass, the Libertarian Party has the porcupine. And a few people emailed me something about that. Someone had asked me why it has 3 stars on it. I think it's graphic, but it may mean something. I don't know. But I thought this was kind of interesting as I was researching that, trying to figure out why it had 3 stars on it. I'm going to read the description of, you know, why libertarians use the porcupine. This is the porcupine, while prickly, isn't a cranky animal. In fact, the animal was chosen because he is a cute and cuddly creature who is friendly, but nonetheless armed and ready to defend himself if somebody initiates aggression towards him. And I think this is interesting. I would imagine that a lot of conservatives might see the idea of being friendly as being weak now. I think a lot of conservatives, and I speak of this because I came from being this Kool-Aid-drinking neocon Republican warmonger, and I remember my thoughts at the time. I believe that conservatives still up to this day have somehow been convinced that being belligerent through military action, flexing military muscle, and throwing sanctions around the world is somehow, air quotes here in the studio, American strength and leadership. And I think this was it was highlighted a lot during Trump. Every time he threatened or sanctioned another country, he would say, "We are respected again. People respect us." I believe that's ridiculous. Now, people might be scared around the world of sanctions or invasion. We have really done. If you fall on the wrong side of the United States when it comes to sanction things, we can take away your food, your medicine, your ability to trade, your natural resources. I mean, people do live in fear of the long arm of American sanctions. There's no doubt about that. But do not mistake fear, which breeds anger, and respect. It does not make you popular or safe. It's kind of like the playground bully. Eventually, the little kids get together. They've had enough, and they decide to take on the bully. I think we're seeing that right now. I've talked about the new BRICS alliance. This is the Brazil, Russia, India, China, now Saudi Arabia, and about 26 other countries that are all getting together and going around the U.S. dollar. They're trying to set up a parallel system so that they can get out from under the thumb of the United States, because we have so abused our privilege of the world's reserve currency by being aggressive with it. But for too long, conservatives have believed that our military might, our ability to reach around the world and strangle anybody who dares to oppose us, is some kind of level of strength, leadership. And so the cute, cuddly, yet ready to defend itself porcupine for the Libertarian Party, I believe, is much more in line with what the Founding Fathers envisioned. Thomas Jefferson said, quote, "Peace, commerce, and honest friendship with all nations, entangling alliances with none." That was Tommy J. Now, I don't know, was Thomas Jefferson a weak man with a weak philosophy? I doubt very many people would consider Thomas Jefferson to have been a shrinking violet and some level of a pacifist. But he said, "Peace, commerce, and honest friendship with all nations, entangling alliances with none." And I believe that conservatives have been sold aggression and belligerence, the demands that we place on other people who do not go along with our programs, that we will unleash anything from financial to physical harm against your nation. The idea that that is somehow strength or leadership is very short-sighted, and it is really just it's a marketing ploy. It's a marketing ploy for the people, the powerful, and this is Republican and Democrat, who make money off of taking out competitors around the world. We're incapable of competition at this point. We've hobbled ourselves so badly financially that we can't really compete on a level playing field. We must tilt the table and crush competitors through the long arm of U.S. dollar or military action. It was very interesting. I want to really thank, I think it was Keith that emailed me a video. I got to watch it 2 or 3 more times. It was a lot about a Brett Weinstein concept of KFAB, I believe it is, which was, it was really comparing American politics to professional wrestling, which I've done here many, many times. As a matter of fact, I've got Ric Flair on my entry music. That's not a coincidence that I've got a professional wrestler along with Hillary and Trump and Jeb Bush and George Bush and other people on my intro music. The fact that I throw a wrestler in there is that's not a mistake. There's so much intricate messaging just within my 1-minute intro to each hour of the show. But it's a fascinating thing. I'll pull up the title. It's not worth going into. Kind of very complex. As I say, I need to watch this a couple of times if anybody's interested in seeing this video. It really is pretty fascinating, with taking the concept of how professional wrestling actually evolved to what it is now, which is a scripted play with heroes and villains and backstabbing, all orchestrated, and how that has become American politics. And we are the dupes. We are all the dupes sitting in the stands cheering for somebody like the match is real. Like the outcomes are not preordained. Like arrangements were not made backstage as to who would win and how they would win and what would take place. And I guess our justice system here would be the referee in a world wrestling match. They look the other way when they need to. They enforce the rules when part of the scripted play. Anyway, it's pretty fascinating. I'll get the title of that, but if you want to email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com, I'll send it to you. It's actually a three-part series. The first two parts are out and a teaser on the third. I think the third will be out soon. There's a preview of it, but it's pretty fascinating. And this is Brett Weinstein. I get the two Weinstein brothers confused. I believe this was Brett Weinstein. There's an Eric Weinstein, I believe, too. But Brett Weinstein really breaks this down, comparing politics to professional wrestling. So it might be interesting to check that out. I'll do a quote of the day real quick today, kind of in honor of Hump Day Health today. And we are at the cusp of the CDC push to add the COVID shots to the children's schedule. Now, this is obviously a horrific development. I'll probably talk about it a little bit more during the health show today. But here's the quote of the day. You can go to the CDC website and you can put in a public comment. I think today's the last day to do it. And somebody had pointed out that Kratom, when they were talking about Schedule 1 for Kratom, they had like 20,000 people who commented on the CDC website about that, and they beat it. Kratom did not end up on Schedule 1, which was a ridiculous notion in the first place. But last I saw, there might have been only 1,200 comments on the CDC website. I put mine in, and I got to tell you, I held my tongue. I was actually kind of polite. I used the Americans for Prosperity method, which they say, and I believe them, it is more effective. Rather than me cussing out the CDC, which is what I'd like to do, I just pointed out the fact that, you know, what I'm sure every other poster is doing, children are not at risk for COVID, and you will actually deprive many children who do not want to participate with an experimental vaccine. You will actually deprive them of schooling around the country. Now, I'm not of any illusion that the public comment is going to make much difference on this, but who knows? Its ability to do something, and it took me about 45 seconds to go to the CDC and do a public comment on that. Again, if you want to find the link, you can email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com, or just do an internet search. You don't need me. Public comment on adding COVID vaccine to childhood schedule. But anyway, in honor of that today, I'm going to read you a quote. This is from Paul Offit. He is on the Vaccine Advisory Committee for the CDC. And he said this, quote, "The only reason I voted no was because hell no was not a choice. And it just surprised me that we were willing to go forward with this with such scant evidence of benefit. I think the phrase that I used was, quote, uncomfortably scant. So you just sort of felt like the fix was in a little bit here, because that's not the right phrase, but it was something that they wanted. And I felt like we were being led here and with a critical lack of information." Of course, this is Paul Offit. He's been playing the FDA game. He's not a newcomer to FDA and mainstream medicine here. He's been played his entire career by Big Pharma. And they're just upping their game when it comes to these COVID shots. On another occasion, Paul Offit said this as a quote of the day, quote, "Right now they're saying we should trust mouse data. I don't think you should ever ask tens of millions of people to get a vaccine based on mouse data." And in that, he's talking about, I think, the most recent bivalent boosters. So you've got a guy with the FDA Advisory Committee who's deep, deep in the Big Pharma swamp. And even he says the only reason he voted no on some of these COVID shots was because hell no wasn't a choice. So you do need to go to the CDC. You do need to do a public comment on these things. Whether it makes any difference or not, I'm glad I took 45 seconds out of my day to make sure that I am among the hopefully tens or hundreds of thousands of people who try to stop the CDC from invoking this rule this idea that experimental COVID shots with no long-term testing for a disease that children are not at risk for should be included on the childhood schedule. That is an abomination, and we know it's not about children's health. It's about liability protection for Pfizer and Moderna. We may talk about that briefly in the next hour, Hump Day Health. I'll be right back. Stock market had a big day yesterday. Was it yesterday? Getting my days confused. I just came off a gig for 2 weeks. We work 7 days a week, same hours every day. I worked from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day of the week. You want to talk about not knowing what day it is when you have zero weekend? There is no difference. Now, we were able to dress casually. I had to gauge my days. I knew it was either Friday or the weekend when I saw denim, but that was the only way I could tell the difference. But markets, I believe, were up big yesterday. They're up a little bit today, too. We'll see how that works out. But what I'm more interested in, and I saw this, the 10-year bond. I told you there's going to be trouble if the 10-year bond went over 3%. It's now firmly over 4%. Here's an interesting thing, though. I am fascinated by what's happening in Japan. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but this can't be good. Okay, here I'm going to give you the, if you want to loan a government money as an investment, right? People just loan people money, not out of the goodness of their heart, but to get a return on their money, right? So if you loan the U.S. Money for 10 years, you're going to get 4%. If you loan it to Germany, you're going to get about 2.3%. Italy, 4.7%. Spain, 3.4%. The U.K., 3.9%. If you want to loan money to Japan for 10 years, they're going to pay you 0.25%. This is a policy from the Japanese government. They are controlling the yields on their bonds to keep their interest rate at the government level down. But what this means is that the Bank of Japan, the Central Bank of Japan, is buying up all of their bonds, similar to what the Federal Reserve has been doing here, which unleashed the inflation we're seeing today. But I mean, if you're making a decision, whether you're a pension plan, an insurance company, a sovereign nation, a mutual fund, that invest in fixed income securities, who are you going to loan money to? The U.S. at 4%, Italy at 4.7%, the U.K. at 3.9%, or Japan at 0.25%. Obviously, nobody is buying Japanese bonds. The government there is buying it all themselves. This is a train wreck. This is going to have some incredibly negative consequences for Japan. The only thing they got going for them is that they do export a lot of goods. They are a heavy manufacturing country. When it comes to the economy, too, though, you know, the Great Reset is all about you will own nothing and be happy. Well, the first leg of that is certainly coming. We've seen home affordability becoming worse and worse for people, particularly our children. This entire financial system that we have allowed to metastasize to benefit that top 0.01% is a crime against our children. We should all be ashamed of ourselves, and we should be ashamed of ourselves for supporting politicians who have taken us down this path to hurt future generations so badly. I'm really looking at the boomers here. I think you really dropped the ball, and then my generation of Generation X just left it laying on the floor there. We've done nothing about it. But here's the first phase of you'll own nothing and be happy. We can all question the second part of that, being happy. But housing starts have tumbled again, as you would expect, as mortgage rates are going up, 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 up. The higher the 10-year yield goes, it's over 4% now, the higher mortgage rates will go. This obviously will put a strain on home building. So home building single-family permits tumbled down 3.1%. They're down for an extended period of time. This is to be anticipated with higher interest rates. It's not really that. It's not a mystery as to why fewer builders are building single-family homes. But what's going up? We did have some building permits soar 8.2%. So single-family homes, home that you might purchase to live in, Went down 3.1%, but multifamily permits soared 8.2%. So home building is going down while rental units in apartments are going up. So this is, we will be a renter class before long. This is the first leg of that you'll own nothing. And then they say we'll be happy. I have my doubts. A couple of other quotes of the day I didn't get to. Thomas Paine. Thomas Paine said, "The duty of a true patriot." I emphasize the true. One thing about quotes of the day, I get to stress or use voice inflection to manipulate the quote to my own desires. The duty of a true patriot is to protect his country from its government. That is what Thomas Paine, a founding father, just he knew. He knew, even though they were setting up something kind of new and they thought it was going to be kind of super duper, he knew that you got to keep an eye on it. We decided instead to just take the bennies from it. You know, one of those things in that video, that Brett Weinstein video that I referenced earlier, comparing politics to professional wrestling, is why the American economy has been stagnating, and that it's not only fake politics, but it's been a fake economy. And it's really very fascinating. It's, again, something else I have to watch, but it just talks about the, you know, the advancements in technology that can actually improve the quality of your life do not go up exponentially constantly, and that we really kind of shot our wad on technological advancements following World War II up till about, and the funny thing is they always look at American wages started to really stagnate. Even while GDP went up significantly, American wages stagnated in, anyone, what year? Anyone can guess? 1971. This video got into the fact, well, there's several different reasons that people say it was 1971, but I think I'm pretty convinced that is the year we went off the gold standard, so the money became essentially worthless, or the value of it was dependent on our political class and not backing by a real asset. So 1971 is when American wages stopped accelerating and just started going sideways, even while GDP and wealth at the very top went up. Another quote of the day, and I'll finish these up. Jean-Jacques Rousseau, I believe, maybe how you say his name. He said, "I prefer liberty with danger than peace with slavery." Yeah. That one fits in nicely to this one. We had some Ghislaine Maxwell news yesterday. I wanted to talk about that. I've got a story about it. I'm going to peruse it. I'll tell you what I'm looking for when we get back. Stick around. What's your frequency, Ken? We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. You know, I was talking about they're not building single-family homes right now. They're building these multi-unit buildings, apartments, rental places for people. Of course, a lot of the homes they've been building the last couple of years have turned into rental units, too, as BlackRock and Blackstone. Blackstone, particularly, has gone out and purchased a ton of residential real estate, bid up prices, made houses less affordable for people. It's really very sad. American dream slipping away from so many people. And then we look at the youth and go, "Why are you a socialist, you big dummy?" Well, of course they're socialists. Most of us probably would be. We'd certainly be open to the idea when you see the screw job that awaits you as you move into your adulthood. You just got convinced to take out $120,000 worth of student loans, and a house costs $425,000 in a safe neighborhood in many parts of the country. What? Of course you'd be looking for some help, and you're too young to understand that the government hates you, and so you think that they're there to help you because you believe things. That's what happens to youth. But anyway, you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday about building. My sympathy goes out to builders. Have you ever seen a chart? Go take a look at the chart of the last 2 to 5 years of lumber prices, particularly the last 2 years when we had all these supply chain interruptions. I mean, how in the hell? As a real estate developer, I've never done anything in that area, but a lot of long-term planning involved in going out and buying an area and then building homes and trying to anticipate the market and figure out what size house you're going to build and, you know, what you pay for the land versus what you'll get to the house and what the demand will be. And then you've got to deal with the building cost of that house. You have no idea if it's going to be through the roof or through the floor. I mean, the lumber chart is just insane. Of course, I will say, you builders out there, God love you. I love anybody that's out there trying to make it. But you builders have really, you've had it pretty good for quite a period of time, with the Federal Reserve artificially suppressing interest rates and making anybody with a pulse qualify for a home loan. You've had it good for a while, so I temper my sympathy on the headwinds you're facing right now with the idea that you've really benefited from a rigged game for decades and decades. Really, what we're seeing now is more close to normal with interest rates at 6-7% than the 3% that the government and the Federal Reserve gave you for years and years. So I understand. It's not your fault. You capitalized on an opportunity. That's the American way. But it's got to be tough to plan for anybody that's trying to build anything into the future. I got an email from David during the break talking about going and weighing in at the CDC on this idea of adding COVID shots to the childhood schedule. I'm going to give you the website on how you can. He said he looked at Google and he couldn't find any listings. He couldn't find any links to how to weigh in and make a public comment on the CDC, including these experimental shots for our kids. But he went to DuckDuckGo and apparently found it. I'm going to tell you what the site is, though, because this website, it's got a bunch of numbers and stuff in it. They're not going to make it easy, but it is regulations.gov, regulations.gov/document/. All right, we're pretty easy so far. regulations.gov/document/CDC-2022. All right, we got that. regulations.gov/document/CDC-2022. And here it comes. This is even kind of easy. -0111-0001. regulations.gov/document/CDC-2022-. And here's the hardest part, 0111-0001. Now, I did go to the site. I was just curious. I swear last night when I went on there, there was like 1,200 comments on this thing. I'm looking today, there's 637. Now, my comment, I did notice when I sent my comment, it was sent through some system. It was submitted, but it may need to be approved or added. So I don't know exactly what's going on. But don't believe for a second that the CDC won't start just knocking down or taking away these things. Boy, I hated to give the CDC my email address, but I think this is important. I wanted to weigh in. I'm sure I'm on a list now, but I'm firmly on whatever list exists for troublemakers. So one submission to the CDC is not going to make much difference in my life going forward in the police state formerly known as the freest country on earth. But anyway, very interesting. I swear this number is down about half of what I thought it was last night for comments. But don't let that dissuade you. It's 45 seconds of your time to try to save our children from an absolute, absolute crime. There was a story yesterday. If you're new to the show, since the day it was announced that Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein's female pimp, since the day she was arrested, I have been unable to find a single image of her in handcuffs, coming to or from a court, inside a court. Oh, we've had some cartoon drawings of her in a court. But there's not been one piece of news footage. I've put out the call. No one has yet sent me a picture of an incarcerated or an on-trial Ghislaine Maxwell picture. And now we're, what, 2 years into this thing? Now, I think they just keep kind of inventing storylines when it comes to Ghislaine. She's been moved to this place. She's, you know, this or that's happening. It's like they keep trying to convince me that she's actually in custody. Strange that no facts have come out around who was actually availing themselves of the services of Jeffrey Epstein. Are Mockingbird Media certainly content to try to convince everybody that Ghislaine Maxwell spent her entire career as a child pimp to just procure young women for Jeffrey Epstein alone. Obviously, we've seen no other Johns mentioned, even though Jeffrey Epstein's locations were all rigged with video surveillance, even in the bathrooms. And yet nothing has surfaced, the FBI also being the Praetorian Guard of the child sex trafficking ring. And so our own law enforcement is keeping the lid closed on the Epstein scandal, trying to convince us it was just Epstein. He just used and abused thousands of underage girls all by himself. It was just him. Anyway, so they've got the story about Ghislaine. So, that, you know, they've added a little something to the storyline. Murder plot. This is on the U.S. Sun. Murder plot. A fellow prisoner plotted to murder me as I slept in my bed, reveals Ghislaine Maxwell. Now, so I started to look at the story because I'm as entertained as anybody else with, you know, what they're writing into this script. And so I started reading the story. It says, Ghislaine Maxwell has revealed how a fellow inmate plotted to murder her as she slept in her prison bed. In her first interview since her conviction, Maxwell, 60, said she was at the notorious Metropolitan Police Detention Center in New York after her arrest in July 2020. Now, this goes on to say she's doing an interview with a movie maker, with a filmmaker. And so you can probably hear in the background my mouse spinning here as I go down through the story. And I thought, well, if she is doing an interview, I can't wait to see a picture of what she looks like at 60 in her prison cell or in the visiting room. And I go down, let's see what pictures we've got of Ghislaine. Here's one, her outside at a cafe. I believe that was in California about 5 years ago. Now, here's a picture of her with Epstein with his arms around her. Probably that looks to be, you know, 10 to 15 years ago. Oh, here's a picture of her at as a socialite event wearing a black dress with a white belt and collar. Here's somebody who's got his arm around her at some business meeting. Ah, here's the picture of her with Prince Andrew with Virginia Giuffre. This is a picture we've seen often. But very interesting, she's done an interview with a filmmaker, and yet there's still not any pictures. In this story. Now, this is a filmmaker. Maybe we will be treated to this interview with Ghislaine Maxwell. And I got to tell you, it's Halloween. How hard is it right now to get you an orange jumpsuit to pretend that you are a convict somewhere? So I don't know. Maybe I'm going to be impossible to please on this one. But I did think when I saw a story about a new interview with Ghislaine Maxwell, maybe we'd see a picture of her today. To my knowledge, and again, MikeMadison@WYAB.com, there has not been a picture produced of Ghislaine Maxwell, even though she is in total control, under total control by the U.S. federal government or the state government. I mean, I think she's on federal charges. She's in the prison system. Supposedly, she must have a mugshot somewhere. I know, God knows, when Gary Busey got a DUI, you can still find his mugshot. It was not a flattering picture. No mugshots, no processing pictures, no pictures of her coming to or from court, absolutely nothing. There's not a picture that exists of Ghislaine Maxwell in the past 5 years, certainly not post-arrest. And even a filmmaker doing an interview can't seem to generate a photo of her these days. I just say I'm suspicious. How hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. We're the Renegades, and it's Atomic Age. I misspoke. Well, I always try to seek to clarify. I want to be as accurate as I can be on this. It wasn't Gary Busey's DUI picture that I was picturing. It was Nick Nolte. And the reason I got confused is because if you take a look at the Nick Nolte mugshot, he actually looks like Gary Busey looks every day. His hair is just all over the place. It was not a flattering photo whatsoever. But I did. I went and looked. I did a celebrity mugshots. We got mugshots of Mick Jagger in 1967, a bunch of people I've never heard of, Lindsay Lohan, Mickey Rourke, Cher. From 1959, I can find her mugshot. Ghislaine Maxwell, not so much. Now, I did a search for Ghislaine Maxwell mugshot, and it's again, this is the same It's the same pictures we keep seeing of Ghislaine Maxwell at parties. Now here's one of her. Oh, this is so sweet. Looks like they're on a vacation. She's kissing Jeffrey Epstein on the cheek. And there's one picture in here that looks like it could be a mugshot, but it also looks like she's 34 years old. So I don't know if this actually is a current mugshot of her. I got to say, she's done a good job of keeping herself looking good if that's a mugshot. Of course, I guess maybe it's that adrenochrome we've all heard about. Keeps you looking young. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
I am, Mike. How are you today,
sir? Good. What's going on?
Well, you know, the bottom line is, Mike, people just don't give a damn.
Yeah, that's
true.
They
don't care about they're more concerned about Kanye tweeting out anti-Semitic Tom Brady and marriage or the Kardashians or some other Hollywood nonsense than they actually do something that really matters.
It's the same
way you talk about the debt. Hey, you and I agree on all of that stuff, but the problem is it's just a conversation between you and me because the vast majority of people don't give a damn.
Yeah, yeah.
They really don't.
And they should, because when they talk about inflation, that's the debt is exactly what's led to this. So, but yeah, you're right. People cannot connect the dots. You know, to realize how it's affecting them. That's the great scheme by the political parties that I rebel against, is that they have so misdirected the people that they cannot connect things that actually affect them on a daily basis. The things that are devastating the American people financially right now, nobody can connect to understand that it's government spending and debt that created it in the first place. Republicans think it's Biden. Democrats think it's Putin, because the political parties are so adept at scapegoating just absolute nonsense for things like this, things that they create.
Absolutely. The American public basically has battered wife syndrome.
Amen.
Okay? We do. We've been beaten into submission, and the government comes back and says, look, I know things didn't go well the last time, but I promise you we're going to do it right this time. And we go, oh, okay, well, come on back.
Right, right.
And I'll vote for you again then.
Yeah, and they're so good. Both the political parties are good also. I've talked about this. I did a whole podcast before I even came on at WYAB called Battered Voter Syndrome. And both political parties tell you, you know, no one's going to, you know, I may abuse you. You may not like me, but nobody will love you like I do. If you leave me, you're going to end up with someone really bad. You're ugly, and nobody loves you except me. You know?
I mean, it is just, you know, you can ask. I guarantee if you did a man on the street and not go out and ask a bunch of 23-year-old recent college grads, but if you just walked around to a shopping center and talk to adults, 40 and 50 year olds, and said, what is the cause of inflation? They have the vast majority wouldn't have a clue.
No.
What do you mean government spending? Oh, I know. That's that President Biden.
Yeah, Biden.
No, it was by Obama or Trump or Clinton or what, whoever.
Well, it is interesting. I just read a statistic today that we've just closed out the latest fiscal year for the U.S. government on September 30th, and we added $2.3 trillion to the debt in the last 12 months. And I know that's going to be probably a big talking point for the right heading into the midterms and everything. That was almost a record, except for anyone, the 2020. When Trump was in office, the 19 to September 30th of 2020, where I believe we added something like $4.3 trillion to the national debt during Trump's term. So, you know, it'll be very convenient. It's all about what you talk about, what you ignore. Each party gets to tell us what we should just not pay any attention to. And when it comes to Trump, you're not supposed to pay any attention to that massive spending spree of 2020.
But what they also don't want to talk about is every year, regardless of tax cuts, regardless of this or that, or who's in charge, the government collects more money than they did the year before.
It's a record every time. That's why they love inflation.
Every year.
Yeah, they love inflation because when things cost more, it creates more, nominal, not real, but nominal business activity that they get to tax. And so the government just keeps taking in more and more and more and more and more and more money.
The state of Mississippi and every city in the state is making money off the inflation because the sales taxes.
Oh, absolutely.
You're paying 7% on what on $10 when it used to be $7. Guess what?
Right.
The government's getting more money off of you.
I know. And then they come out and they tell you that.
Nobody even realizes.
Yeah.
No, and they don't even care.
These politicians come out and they tell you they hear your pain. They really want to get this inflation under control. Meanwhile, they're just sitting there trying to figure out how they can spend that new cash.
We come up with a cute name, the Inflation Reduction Act. Or the what?
We're an economically illiterate people, and that's a real shame. We're paying the price for it right now. I just hate that it affects people who actually understand these things. It seems like we should get a pass, but the ignorance of this country is dragging us all down together. So anyway,
there ain't no passes.
Nope.
Hey. Ain't nothing in this life free, baby.
Yep. All right. Got to take a break. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. All right, when we come back, we will get into Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. I've got a place you can go for this CDC comment. I think someone's just emailed that to me. I'll do that when we come back. Stick around. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Wednesday. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, we dive into health. For those of you who are sick and tired of being sick and tired, you're ready to lose some weight, you're ready to get into a better mood, you're tired of being sleepy, grumpy, cranky, creaky, all these different things, your health outcomes are in your own hands for the most part, and nutrition is the key to unlocking good health. And that's what I try to convince people of every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock. I am not a doctor. I tell everybody every show. Not a doctor, not a scientist, not a biologist, not an immunologist, not a virologist, not a surgeon. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a nothing. I got no certification to advise you on your health whatsoever. I'm just trying to give you a little hope that it's not just bad genes that makes you sick. It is what you are putting into your pie hole. That is making you sick. I'm a few weeks now. I don't have a good start date for this. I needed one because I really wanted to do carnivore for 30 to 90 days. If at 30 days I wasn't feeling great, maybe it wasn't for me, we're all different, then I would bail on it. I'm not about doing anything. I knew the first week or so, sometimes when you switch the way you eat, your gut's got to adjust. Your head's got to adjust a little bit. You may detox from some things. If you get off of a standard American diet and get onto something else, you may have a little bit of a healing crisis, they call it. But I was going to give myself 30 days. I'm getting close to that, I think. I'm probably maybe 25 days, something like that, of carnivore, just as an experiment. This is my hobby. It's a weird one, I understand, but it's been pretty positive for my life for the past 17 years. So I'm doing carnivore. I'm basically just eating meat. Now, I got to tell you, I transgressed on Saturday night after a long 2 weeks of work over in Dallas. I came back. I decided I wanted to drink a couple of beers, a couple of big beers. And I did that. Now, the one thing with carnivore, I know that I can get, you know, I can change. I may cheat from time to time, and then I get right back onto it. The more I've read, getting back on track, it was a little difficult, so my cheating may be a lot less than I anticipated when I started. But I had a couple of beers. I got to tell you, Sunday morning, I felt like crap. I really did. And it's interesting. So just to tell you a little bit about my experience with carnivore, I'm in some email conversations with some other people that are trying it right now as well. Interesting to hear. One person did talk about their gut having a little bit of gastric distress. When you change the way you eat, your gut's got to respond. It's got to kind of reorient itself. You're going to have different gut microbiome. It's got to sort that out. And this was one of my fears with carnivore. It's why I really, one of the reasons I put it off so long, I understood there could be a couple of weeks of some inconvenient digestion. I didn't really suffer from that. One of the things I saw to mitigate that is to keep your electrolytes up, and I eat a lot of sea salt on meat. So anyway, about 3 to 4 weeks in, it certainly is easy. Because I am rarely, if ever, really hungry, because I'm eating a lot of fat and protein when I do eat. There hasn't been a real profound effect on my health, but the reason for that is, to be honest with you, I really pretty much felt pretty good all the time anyway. The one thing that I did, the health challenge that I had prior to carnivore that I think is starting to improve, is that I have had and have talked about some back issues and some shoulder issues. I've done some things to my shoulder. I'm in the gym, poor form, trying to lift too heavy. I have what is either some, I think it's a, I forget what it's called, but there's something in your shoulder that can get inflamed and rubs up against some of your bones in there, and I think I had that. My shoulder pain is gone, and my back is substantially better. When I drank those two beers on Saturday night, when I woke up in the morning, my back was sore. It's really kind of bizarre. When you actually feel pretty good, you get very aware of when you eat something maybe that's not agreeing with you, that's causing some inflammation in your body. Most people go through their life constantly inflamed. Joints are inflamed. And so when you don't have that, it's pretty easy to say, oh, okay, that's what did it. Now, am I never going to have a beer again? I'll say right now, absolutely not. but anyway, it's been pretty easy. And I think that my joints, I'm eating a ton of collagen in this meat. A lot of things that are good for connective tissues. So if you've got some joint pain, at least increasing the meat that you eat may be of some benefit. I don't know if this is gross or not, but I was eating ribs the other night, and you know there's that thin layer on the bottom of a rib we don't always eat. I made sure I tore that off and ate it because I know it's full of collagen and stuff. So my back has been substantially better. My shoulders are the pain is almost completely non-existent when I'm in the gym after 3 or 4 weeks on carnivore. I don't think that is a coincidence. I have been wanting to look into, because someone brought it up a few weeks ago when I first started talking about this, kidney stones and a heavy meat diet. I will just go ahead and confess, I have not done my research on that, really. I saw a story about oxalates, but I haven't dug through it yet. But I don't see anything that should suggest, because I don't have a proclivity towards kidney stones, that those may develop. But I am on guard for that. I do not want kidney stones. I will go ahead and tell you that right now. I ran across this story just kind of talking about, even though it's extreme to be on an all-meat or all-animal-based diet. I've had some kefir, which is, you know, a fermented, like, kind of like a yogurt product. I've had cheese. I have eggs. It was not just strictly Stonington Farm beef, but I would say that's about 75% of what I eat these days. And I just eat the one meal at night. I'll eat a giant ribeye they got a good chuck eye steak. Don't buy all the chuck eye steaks from Stonington Farm. I'm going to be really mad if I pump up the chuck eye steak and then I can't get any when I want to place my orders. But they're getting most of it. But the thing that is they try to push us away from meat. You notice this has really been the health advice for a long time. Cancer and red meat. They talk about these things all the time. But if you just stop and think for a second about what our ancestors did to survive, really before pre-agricultural times, they were going out there and killing animals. Our teeth show you that we have ripper terror teeth to eat meat. You know, cows don't have fangs. They are designed to just smash up grass. But we've got some sharp canine teeth designed to rip apart flesh. I don't think that's a coincidence. So I ran across this story in New York Post. Vegans and vegetarians depressed twice as often as meat eaters. This is a new study. Sorry to my vegan friends. Eating greens and feeling blue, vegetarians experience depressive disorders twice as frequently as meat eaters, according to a new study from Brazilian researchers published in the Journal of Affective Disorders. There's a, quote, positive association between the prevalence of depressive episodes and a meatless diet. This goes on to say what the studies, they studied 14,216 people between the ages of 35 to 74 years old. And they found that, quote, depressive episodes are more prevalent in individuals who do not eat meat, independently of socioeconomic and lifestyle factors. Nutrient deficiencies do not explain this association. The nature of the association remains unclear, and longitudinal data are needed to clarify a causal relationship. And they have done this study with people who are vegetarian or vegan and mood many times, but there are certainly nutrients in meat that you need for mood. We have suffered from a chronic problem of depression in the United States. A little bit more on that in a few minutes. But one of the things I'll just go ahead and tell you, if you are suffering with depression, it's not from lack of pharmaceuticals. It's not from lack of antidepressants that you are suffering from depression. Nutrients that you need to keep mental health where it needs to be: omega-3 fatty acids, iron, zinc, calcium, choline, vitamins A, D, C, B12, E, and K. And these things are found very readily in meat, as I've said before. And I'll do one more plug real quick before I take a break and come back and address my scandal. Is Stonington Farm. I'm thrilled to death to know that not only am I doing this carnivore, and one of the only reasons I decided to do it now is I've got access to probably the most nutritional profile of meat available, which is grass-fed, grass-finished, no hormones, no antibiotics, no grains that cows were not designed to eat. The nutritional profile of Stonington Farm beef is fantastic, and I can get it at the same cost or less, depending on how much you buy, that you can get it at the grocery store. So make sure you check out StoningtonFarm.com. That's singular. I made a mistake in our interview. I kept saying Stonington Farms. I like the idea that they corrected me because they wanted me to understand this is not some big operation with a bunch of different locations selling to Walmart. No, this is a family farm in Perkiston, Mississippi, raising cattle the right way. And they're doing it because they want the best nutritional profile for their meat. It is StoningtonFarm.com. You can go and see everything that they've got, what they offer, and then you will need to call them. How about that? They don't have a checkout basket on their website because they want to talk to you. They want to introduce themselves. They want to see exactly what you're looking for. They'll tell you a little bit about the farm, and then they'll take an order from you then. It's a family farm, person to person. I absolutely am just crazy, obviously, about this. This sponsorship of Stonington Farm, and we had Dr. Mike Stonington and his wife Katie on the show a couple of weeks ago. I've got a second part of that interview coming up sometime soon, where we really talked about he went through medical school and never got trained about nutrition. It's just another doctor, I think number 5 or 6 that I've had on this show, that has talked about the fact that medical training does not involve any nutritional training whatsoever. Oh, they know how to prescribe a drug, but they know nothing about how the food you eat actually affects your health. So we'll do that part of the interview coming up. But check them out at StoningtonFarm.com. And they are starting to bring up smaller orders to Jackson now that they're picking up business. I know they're coming up. I believe it's next Friday. I'll confirm that. But give them a call. Check out StoningtonFarm.com. Give them a call. If they're coming up here, you can place a small order. Just get some of their ribeyes. Get some of their hamburger. They got a special on it right now. $5.99 instead of $6.99. And the hamburger is just, it's fantastic. It's I'm eating a ton of it. I'll tell you right now, it's very good. So StoningtonFarm.com. When I come back, I'm going to address the scandal. People are watching me, accusing me of hypocrisy. I'm here to defend myself when we come back. Stick around. So I am the subject of a scurrilous rumor going around, a charge, an accusation of hypocrisy here on the show, particularly when it comes to my health stuff. Now, I'm not somebody who's got a perfect diet. I'll tell you that right now. I tell you that all the time. And that's the beautiful thing. If you manhandle about 80% of your diet, you know, when you're just sitting at home, if you just don't shove a bunch of garbage in your mouth, then your body can detox and you can have treats whenever you want them. I've never been perfect, never will be perfect. Sometimes people won't change their diet because they say, well, I've got Christmas parties coming up in 2 months and I don't want to start something now. I mean, we'll justify it any way we can. I'm not at all perfect. But there is an accusation of hypocrisy being leveled across me as someone believes that they saw me entering a donut shop. Oh, yes. Someone believes that they saw me wearing a hat. Apparently, maybe in an attempt to disguise myself, collar popped up, certainly sunglasses, glancing from side to side as Mike Madison enters a donut shop in direct contradiction to his professed carnivore diet. Now, I am willing and ready. I stand ready to cooperate in a full investigation and am willing to submit to public interrogation on this issue. Now, if I went into a donut shop, I'd tell you, oh, yeah, I went in and had a donut the other day. I felt like crap, but boy, it did taste good. I'm not against somebody ever having a donut, but I just did think it was kind of funny that I got a charge of hypocrisy because someone thought they saw me going into a donut shop. Now, the first thing is if it was in the last 2 weeks, it wasn't me. I have an alibi. I was in Dallas. And I can account for 11 hours, about 100 witnesses to my whereabouts for 11 hours for 14 days straight. So if it was in that time period, I know that I can exonerate myself quickly if it was a local sighting of me going into. What I figure is that they must be filming a movie around here. And this person probably saw Ryan Reynolds or Brad Pitt going into a donut shop and they just assumed it was me because we look so similar. But anyway, as I said, I will cooperate fully with an investigation, willing to undergo a polygraph test, and we can go and inspect the video surveillance of said donut shop. Holy cow. Okay. On the more serious side of things, today is the day that you need to go to the CDC and participate in their public comments about adding the COVID shots to the kids' schedule. Now, with their corruption, they'll probably still add it anyway, regardless of what people say, because they serve big pharma. This is one of those things where they're like, all right, I guess we'll let the people say something. It'll make them feel like they're involved in the process somehow. But just like all of these things have been approved, I believe the fix is in. But that didn't stop me from taking 45 seconds of my day to just make sure I'm on the laundry list of things. Go find this link. Someone called and said that Citizens Free Press has got a link to this where you can go make a public comment. He said that he saw about 30,000, 23,000, something like that, comments on this. There need to be millions. You understand that if this shot is added to the childhood schedule, there will be kids around this country, parents that are forced with the idea that their children cannot attend school. In Mississippi, they say that they've enacted some legislation that means that it can't be added to our childhood schedule. We've already said that's not going to be the case. Trust me. Do not think for a second. Our legislature is among the worst in the country. I believe there's only one other state that has as draconian requirements for your child to take every single jab that Big Pharma pushes on us for your child to attend school. I know many, many people who homeschool for that exact reason. They pay their taxes. Oh, yeah, they pay their property taxes. But they're not allowed access to the school because this child has not taken one of the 72 shots that the state of Mississippi forces on the children. So do not think for a second that the state of Mississippi is going to protect you. And so this is something you can do. Go comment on this CDC ruling. And again, even if it feels like it's not worth anything, it makes you feel good to know you at least tried a little something on behalf of our children. Even if you want this shot for your child, you should be against forced shots on children. And you understand there's a lot of parents out there that don't want their child to take an experimental shot, but they need to go to work. They can't afford to stay home and homeschool. And so they will submit this child to this experimental, no long-term safety studies whatsoever. We have no idea what this shot will do to a 6-year-old when they turn 15. None. Impossible to know. We should not be forcing these on our kids. Of course, this is not about your child's health. This is about Big Pharma profits and, even more importantly, the liability shield around Big Pharma. This is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. explaining why the pharmaceutical companies need this thing on the childhood schedule.
So they're never going to market a vaccine, allow people access to a vaccine, an approved vaccine, without getting liability protection. Now, the emergency use authorization vaccines have liability protection under the PrEP Act and the CARES Act. So as long as you take an emergency use, you can't sue them. Once they get approved, now you can sue them, unless they can get it recommended for children.
What?
Because all vaccines that are recommended, officially recommended for children, get liability protection, even if an adult gets that vaccine. That's why they're going after kids. They know this is going to kill and injure a huge number of children, but they need to do it for the liability protection.
Just imagine that. Just imagine the depravity of forcing this on children. There's a requirement to probably attend school, to play sports. Because these kinds of rulings, even... Yeah, how many times over the last couple of years have we heard, we're just following CDC guidelines? This is businesses, libraries, public events, sports leagues. Well, we're just taking, you know, it's not our decision. We're just following CDC guidance. How many kids are going to be stripped again, of their ability to participate in normal childhood because their parents do not want them to get this shot? And some kids forced to do this, they're going to try to sneak out and get this shot because they don't understand long-term consequences of this. They just know they can't play ball with their buddies. So if the CDC gets this through, and we'll see, the corruption is deep, deep, deep at the CDC and the FDA. But if they get this through, this is going to be a real tragedy for people. And we're going to see what our state legislature is made of. We're going to see if they don't step in and protect us, protect our children. This is about liability protection. Big Pharma does not care how many people get injured, how many kids are cut out of their normal way of life. It's the bottom line. They do not want to be held accountable for any vaccine injuries. And this one's a biggie. More adverse events associated to this vaccine than every other vaccine combined for 30 years. Yeah, they want this liability protection and they want it bad. So weigh in on that. I will say one other thing, too, about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He wrote a book called The Real Anthony Fauci. It was a bestseller. I will admit I have not read it. I read a lot. Man, I got a long list of books I need to read and very little time to actually read them. But it's supposed to be a great book. I will admit I've not read it. So luckily for all us lazy readers, there is now a movie out called The Real Anthony Fauci, and it is available for free for the next 10 days. I think it just was released yesterday. You got 10 days to see this thing. You can go to Children's Defense Network. I think that's what it's called, isn't it? I think it is. Yeah, Children's Defense. Just look up Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Children's Defense. You can probably find a link to it there. It's all over the place for as long as it's up. We don't know if they'll try to censor it. I'm sure they've got it on a platform that's harder to censor. It's not going to be on YouTube, I don't believe. But this is The Real Anthony Fauci movie. This is probably something that people need to share. If you've got somebody that's kind of on the fence about this stuff, they don't know what to make of Fauci. They're a normie. They're not really paying attention. They still trust the CDC and the FDA. This is something everybody should see. You got 10 days to see it for free. And I will say, once it comes out, I'm sure I'll buy it anyway because I want to funnel some money to the people that are speaking the truth about what's going on with these shots with Anthony Fauci and with these agencies that are supposedly there to protect us, because they're not. I'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. It's Wednesday. We're doing Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. Trying to help you here. You got to do the work yourself. I'm just trying to lead a horse to water. Someone had asked me to repeat the website, the link that you go to comment on this CDC consideration of adding the Pfizer vaccine, the Pfizer and Moderna, these shots to the childhood schedule to give Big Pharma complete liability protection, regardless of what they do to your children. Here is the website that you go to make this comment. It is regulations.gov/document/CDC-2022. All right, we got that. All kind of normal. regulations.gov/document/CDC-2022. And then a -0111-0001. So I know that's a lot to take in on radio and you're driving and stuff. Just try to find it. It's regulations.gov. You should be able to search for this, but we know what the internet providers are doing now. The last thing they want is a few million Americans easy access to weigh in and say, do not experiment on our children with this shot. Do not force people to force their children to get this shot to attend school or play sports. It's not the first time. I want people to understand, I've been talking about this for over 5 years now. We've been experimenting on our children a lot. We've been experimenting on them with Adderall, with Ritalin. We have no idea the long-term effects of that. This is a 20-year phenomenon of prescribing these things with ADHD diagnoses. We have been experimenting on our children with GMOs, Children born after about 1996 were the first generation of children to be raised to eat a whole lot of herbicides. And I've talked endlessly about this danger of glyphosate and these chemicals that are getting into our system and disrupting our gut microbiome. And we now have the first generation of children that is less healthy than their parents. This is an especially egregious experimentation on our children, but it's not the first one. You are supposed to be the guardian of your children and their health. I know it's inconvenient sometimes when you deny your child some treat that they want. It's a pain in the butt. I went through it. My kids were four when I changed our diet. They grumbled, sometimes a lot. And I wasn't perfect. I let some steam out of the kettle every now and then. They had treats, but I knew I was going to, about 80% of their diet, their breakfast, their lunch, and their dinner that was provided at home was going to be good food. Weekends, it was a little bit of a Thunderdome then. Kind of had some fun. Halloween, knock yourselves out, kids. But I'm going to get you back in shape when I have control of your meals. You are the guardian of your children's health. The things that they are telling you are safe to eat for your children, they don't have good long-term consequences. And speaking of that, there is something coming about right now that they are floating out there that is another thing you need to be on guard for, and this is another thing we need to not allow to happen here. And this is one of those things where the intention of this, oh, it just sounds so great. Our kids are so stressed. Of course, most of the stress that our children have undergone, particularly over the last 2.5 years, has been at the hands of these people who have scared the crap out of them about COVID. Stripped their lives away from them, taken them away from their friends, taken them out of their schools, disrupted their entire routines, stopped their sporting events, canceled their proms, and then we go, what's going on? Our kids are all anxious and depressed. Well, now they're talking about screening, rolling out nationwide screening for kids. Check this out.
The U.S. Preventive Services Task Force, it's an influential panel of experts, they announced that children should be routinely screened for mental health issues as early as 8 years old. This even applies to kids who are not showing any signs or symptoms of a mental health problem.
Your kid may not be showing any signs. You may have a happy kid, but they're going to go in there and find where it's broken so they can medicate it. This is a horrific idea. An absolutely horrific idea. If your child's got some behavioral issues, I've already told you, nutritionally, you'll make leaps and bounds with any behavioral issues, any mood issues with your children. Get the red 40 out of your kid's diet. That's a place to start. Just don't give them any more of the food dye stuff. See if that works. You may need to go a little deeper. Give them some real nutrition to start repairing their body. But a lot of kids, we had Katie Morgan on here a couple of times. I'm going to have her back soon, where she discovered red 40 was sending her child into complete meltdowns. Well, instead of exploring what we're giving our kids that may be affecting their moods, they're just going to roll out nationwide screening, and you know what that's going to lead to.
So, what does this change for you and your family? Well, here to help us break it down, psychiatrist Dr. Sue Varma. So let's start with the top lines here. Walk us through the recommendations, Dr. Varma. What are they suggesting that these pediatricians actually do?
Yeah. So from age 8 and above, we want to do anxiety screenings. And age 12 and above, we want to do depression screenings.
Can you even? I'm almost speechless, but that's bad form for a talk radio show. They're going to go searching for depression in your 12-year-old. They're going to go look for it. And you know, this is to medicate them. This is not because they love your children and they want to make sure they're happy. Why is it that most of the adults that are listening to me right now, we knew kids who got sad. Things happen. Your puppy gets hit by a car. Well, that is really sad. But I don't know any kids who are just depressed. I don't remember back in the 1980s, 1990s, people who were cutting themselves. You know, all of these things. Isn't it interesting? The more medicated our children get, the less happy they are. But they're going to go searching for it. They're saying they're going to screen everybody. 8 years old, they're screening for anxiety. Don't worry. If they find it, they got a pill for that. If you get to be 12, we're looking for depression. If they find it, don't worry. We got a pill for that, too.
And the idea is that we want to catch symptoms of anxiety early, even in people or even in children who are not exhibiting signs. And the idea is that if we can catch it now, this can prevent adulthood anxiety, depression, substance abuse, chronic medical illnesses like diabetes and obesity.
Mm-hmm. Well, every kid has his or her.
I mean, Don't pay any attention to what your kid's eating. We're gonna screen them for depression or anxiety. We're gonna slap them on a medication, and we're gonna somehow cure obesity. This makes no sense to me whatsoever, except as a good sales tool for Big Pharma.
Our ups and downs. What are the symptoms? What takes it to that next level?
Yes.
Okay, you're about to hear the description of a teenager.
You want to look in certain key areas. Academics, are the grades slipping? Social friendships, are they withdrawing and isolating? At home, is the hygiene down? Are they sleeping a lot? Are they losing interest and pleasure in the activities that they once used to? Are they?
What child goes from 8 years old to 12 years old, and still has the same interests? My son was a fanatic for Thomas the Train. I'm talking about. I almost thought I needed to intervene. I was so tired of putting together Thomas the Train toys and spending what was probably a sizable amount of my income that I could have used to build wealth on Thomas the Train stuff. You ask him about Thomas the Train a couple of years after that, and he was like, I never liked that. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, I don't want that kid stuff. I mean, come on.
Complaining of a lot of unexplained medical symptoms. I have a headache. I have a stomach ache. But we can't.
I have a headache. I have a stomach ache. Could it be? Could it possibly be the two diet sodas you had with your bear claw for breakfast? Could that have any effect on how you're feeling today?
Get to the bottom of it. So you really want to look at impairment in functioning. Is there a change in their baseline?
So if your child does get flagged, I guess there's a couple.
Oh, you got to love that. Your children get flagged. Oop, we got one. You keep an eye on this one. This one's defective. Thank God we've got pharmaceutical companies out there with Effexor and Wellbutrin and Adderall and all these other things, because we found another defective kid. And you slap them on a pill, your child's going to get flagged.
Questions. What should you do? And then there's the anxiety piece. And then to me, there's the what is the basis of that anxiety? How do you get down to what the root is instead of just treating the anxiety portion?
Yes. So while I love the fact that primary care doctors, pediatricians in this case, are the ones who are going to screen, but it's not a diagnosis, right? So you still need to see a behavioral health specialist to help you unpack what are all the details? What are the triggers? Are there difficulties at home? Is the kid being bullied?
Yeah.
What is happening? What are all the situational factors? Have you just moved to a new home? Is there a new school? Is there a transition?
Mm-hmm. What are your parents doing to you at home? You can tell us. This is a safe place. It's just the pediatrician and the child. We've flagged you as anxious. You seem a little depressed. What are your mom and dad doing to you at home? I mean, can you even imagine this? I would hope pediatricians would not do this. We're not talking about kids who walk in with broken arms and bruises. It looks like abuse from their parents, where a pediatrician's concerned. No, they're going to go look for this stuff. Going to ask you about your home life. Going to ask you about all kinds. Maybe you're trapped in a... Are you a little boy trapped in a girl's body? I don't think so. Have you thought about it? That might be what... I mean... This is unbelievable stuff.
So I'm a big believer in understanding what is the root cause, because I don't like the idea of somebody just getting a diagnosis or even treatment or medications that they possibly don't need without figuring out what else is going on, including medical problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is the first step, not the last step.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Dr.
Bob. Thank you.
Yeah, this is the first step. Let's just start screening every 8-year-old for anxiety and every 12-year-old for depression. Do I even need to say anything else? You know exactly where this goes. This is another thing that needs to be opposed. It's not because they love your children. Your children, they're just, you know, the Ritalin drugs, all those things, those are great, but those are really for the teenagers. It's just they're not cashing in on the 8-year-olds. Thank God they got this vaccine down to 6 months old, because, you know, toddlers aren't real good customers. They're generally fairly healthy outside of the occasional ear infection, and even those things you can control with nutrition. This is a horrific idea. Be on guard for it. Be right back.
All over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, final segment for the day. I want to read you this. We're talking about drugging our kids. I've chronicled I don't know how many times. I'm not about to do it. I don't have enough time to get into it again today. But all of these kids that are these mass shooters that are on these psychotropic drugs, and to my research, it's about 95% are confirmed to have been on everything from Luke Woodham and Pearl being on Prozac to Effexor, Wellbutrin. They're all on these drugs. We just had the Parkland shooter sentenced to, I guess, life in prison in Florida. I can't remember if I've confirmed that one. It usually takes weeks or months to find out they were under psychiatric care and some drug. They were on some drug. And I think it's a crime. I know, as horrific as these shootings are, I've got kids. I can't imagine getting a call from a school and something like this happening. But these kids that have been prescribed these drugs, I hate to say this, this is not going to be popular probably, but they're victims too. I've said many times, if a kid's walking down the street, just minding his own business, somebody jumps out of the shadows, injects him with something that makes him go crazy, and then attacks somebody, do we blame the child? No, we would blame the person that jumped out of the shadows and gave him a shot of something that freaked him out. And I think that's what's happening with these kids. And check out this story. Recently, there was a man accused of stabbing 8 people, killing 2 on the Las Vegas Strip. This is a recent story that came out. This is only a few weeks ago. So this guy jumped out. This guy, right, a menace to society, accused of stabbing 8 people. He killed 2 people on the Las Vegas Strip. We need to take him out and kill him. Listen to this. Oh, crap. Where did I find it? I'm sorry. I got to go. The man who identified himself as Barrios showed a prescription that he said he got from the Sabin Clinic in Hollywood. The man said he believed the prescription was, quote, messing with his brain, unquote, and that someone was trying to kill him, according to RNBC. Kills 2 people, stabs 8 people on the Las Vegas Strip. He's got the prescription. He's like, this thing is messing with my brain. Ends up killing 2 people. And I have read the statistics. We're putting kids as young as 0 to 1 on these drugs. Tens of thousands of children. I think it's 85,000 children under the age of 1 are on psychotropic drugs. And now we're going to screen every child. Every child, 8 years and up, for anxiety. I'm going to have Katie Morgan come back in. She's the mom who contacted me and said she took Red 40 out of her child's diet, got another child back. A child that just does not have near the emotional stress, not acting out, because she just took that one thing out of their diet. I'm kind of pushing her the rest of the way. When we talked, she said, oh, I hadn't thought about that. This is a woman who is now paying attention to what her child's having and affecting their behavior, and just had another guy call. I'm going to have him on the show when I have Katie back. He said he did the same thing. He heard that show, took his kid off those dyes, and now his child is performing amazingly. It wasn't because this child was lacking some pharmaceutical. It was because we're poisoning our children. Poisoning our children. I'm going to bring this one thing up, too. I got to tell you, I've been away for 2 weeks. And every time I'm looking at stuff and I think of health topics, I put notes on this one big document. I think I've got something like almost 200 pages just of links to stories. So I've got a lot of stuff pent up. I'm a little all over the place with the show today because I've got so much stuff to do. But this is just an interesting one to end on. I don't know if you're familiar with, I mean, the medical system in this country is so broken. Number one, we don't look for causes of disease. We treat symptoms. So the underlying cause gets worse and worse. More things break down. It means... Anyone? More medications for you. It's a very profitable model. Not to mention the fact that the leading cause of bankruptcy in this country is medical treatment. It's so expensive here. It's not the case around the world. Have you heard about medical tourism? This is something I want people to be aware of. If you're facing a health challenge, even with insurance these days, sometimes people are forced because insurance is so expensive because medical treatment in the U.S., where they have captured our ruling political class, is so expensive that people cannot afford to get treatments. Not so in other countries. There's a great story. I can email you the link if you want it. But you can look this up yourself, medical tourism. They were talking about people going around. And it's the funny thing is, a lot of these, to us, are third world countries. We say this thing here in the United States, we've got the best medical system in the world. Now, I'll agree, if your body gets broken in an accident, probably do. Stunning surgeries. But when it comes to just your health or procedures, not by a long shot. There's a story in here of a surprise $8,000 bill for a colonoscopy because they were out of network. I experienced this. I'll have to tell that story one day. Not for a colonoscopy, but in my family. $1,600 for the epidural in a pregnancy they weren't expecting. Today, the average per capita spending on healthcare is $12,000. But I wanted to get down in some of these examples, see if I can find them. And they talk about the difference between the cost of getting medical treatment in the United States. For example, dental work. Dental work in Mexico, 65% less. I'm not doing a good job. I really was not prepared to get to this story. Colombia has some of the highest rated hospitals and clinics in the world. Now, same with Mexico. These people, a lot of them are trained in the U.S., but their systems are such that, you know, it's things like you go down for open heart surgery here, $45,000. You go to Mexico, it's $4,200. And so what I think we're going to see, keep your passport handy, because if you can't afford American health care, you may start looking at places like India, Thailand. I know it sounds weird. We think they're third world hell holes, right? No. You go there, you get like 7 days at what is like a five-star resort, and you get a treatment while you're there, and it's cheaper than even the copay here in the United States. It's quite amazing. Medical tourism, it is the wave. All time I got. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.